Time now for Inside Utah Politics with Lindsay Ayres.
Well, welcome into IUP Plus today. Appreciate you finding us on News for Utah Plus. This is our free streaming app, so tell your friends that you can watch more Inside Utah Politics, which is IUP, get that, content wherever you like to stream. And also you can watch us on YouTube as well. I'm joined by a couple of political analysts today who are just amazing. Taylor Morgan, Leah Murray. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Introduce yourselves. Tell us who you are.
Taylor Morgan, partner at Morgan May Public Affairs.
I'm Leah Murray, professor of political science at Weber State University.
So a professor and a consultant, pretty much. Here we are. And producer Peter's here, too. Hi, producer Peter.
I sure am. Hi, everybody.
Your hair is just, you know,
I'm letting
beautiful.
It run wild. Yeah. This is what happens when they give me Monday off. I come in looking like I'm back from vacation.
I like how we can comment on your hair and looks every week, but if anyone did
absolutely.
That to me, I'd be like, do
no,
not
No, no,
even.
No, no, that's the benefit of putting the off-air guy on camera. I don't particularly care. You can say whatever.
I just love it, though. But you're the smartest guy in this room, and we appreciate you. All right, let's dive right in, shall we, because we got a doozy of some topics today. I want to start with a bombshell locally that we just found out earlier on Tuesday is that the Utah Republican Party is trying to repeal Map C. They've also launched an indirect initiative, which is basically a process to ask voters whether they want the legislature to, in this case, repeal Proposition 4 or Utah's anti-gerrymandering criteria and commission. Taylor, let me start with you. The Republican Party came out and endorsed Map C. Why are they now repealing it? Make it
Great.
Make sense.
Well, Lindsay, I don't think any of this has to make sense or will make sense. I think the Republican Party here in Utah is maybe trying to give the folks behind Prop 4 and the litigation a taste of their own medicine, so to speak, using litigation and the process to perhaps stall out implementation of Map C.
Well, this isn't a legal thing. They're not suing over this. They're just trying to repeal the law.
Right, because Utah law allows that if a referendum is in progress, it essentially freezes implementation of the law that is subject to that referendum. This is similar to the union bill that passed the last legislative session, highly controversial, of course, resulted in the UEA-led referendum that was successful, and that law is not being implemented because it's frozen due to that statute. So the Republican Party technically, legally, could freeze implementation of Map C. I'm not an attorney by choice. There are a lot of smart attorneys that will be able to, you know, say whether or not this will work. I can't say for sure, but things are going to get very interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Leah, what do you make of this move before we kind of drill down on some of the details of it?
Yeah, well, a little bit I don't understand it, and I'm so sorry to be someone who's from the East Coast that doesn't really have all sorts of initiatives.
You actually believe in the Republic, right?
That is correct. Yeah. I wanted to say there's a reason why the Founding Fathers said maybe we should vote for representatives and they should make decisions on policy, because the minute you get involved with a couple million people making decisions on policy, it gets really tricky. And this whole conversation, right? So
such a good Republican.
Republicans asking Republican voters to call in and say, let's have this map. Our elected officials, as a result of horizontal accountability, working with the judiciary, decides on this map. And now all of a sudden we're going to have a couple million people weigh in on it. And in the meantime, who even knows? Like, how do you run a campaign? This instability, a little bit, is part of the reason why. You know, I know I'm not popular when I say this, but I'll tell you what, like, these initiatives are just a hot mess.
Well, Taylor, you've run initiatives before. Yeah.
Sorry, Lindsay. I think this all goes to what we have talked so much about on our show here is the underlying issue that the Utah legislature is most concerned about is the state Supreme Court's ruling last July that essentially placed initiatives that reform the government as what the legislature say is a super law.
Okay,
right?
But is that messaging? Because is it actually a super law? The question for me is, okay, the legislature can still amend initiatives. They just can't impair the reform.
Right. They can't do anything. It has to be narrow and a compelling interest in reforming the government that does not essentially trample on the intent of the initiative sponsors. Right.
Right.
Well, really defining what all of this means is the issue, and
that's the hot mess.
That's the hot right? mess, right?
So
and let's make
it makes
make
my
no
job
mistake.
Great. I have a lot to report on.
Make no mistake here: the success of the litigation by the League of Women Voters and Mormon Women for Ethical Government, all of that relies on the Utah Supreme Court's ruling last July. right? That is the issue.
Okay, so let me think. I'm thinking out loud a little bit here, but let me walk through these details to see if we can kind of flesh this out a little bit. The Republican Party files to repeal Map C. They have to gather like 75,000 signatures within 40 days of when the law was enacted. So that would be 40 days from October 6th, which is about November 16th, 17th,
after
something like that.
After the November 10th deadline.
Yeah, which is after the November 10th deadline. So the judge presumably goes and says, okay, Map C is fine. It follows Prop 4. It meets the partisan symmetry test, all of that. And then the voters say, we want to issue a referendum on Map C. And we pause that law?
It is the law that is passed by the legislature is frozen during the referendum process.
Okay.
If which means, but doesn't that mean, Taylor, like, so this vote to get the legislature to vote would happen on the ballot next year?
Well, that's different. So that's a direct initiative, which is different than the referendum.
My
Stay
question
with me here, Leah.
Yeah, so before you go there, but that means
on,
if it's on hold,
so, simple,
so what are
easy,
the lines of the districts? Where is Blake Moore running for office?
That's
so
my question.
Right.
Yes.
If it goes on hold, that means the 2026 election cycle revert to the old maps?
Well, is that why the legislature kept the 2021 maps in place? Because if a judge or a referendum perhaps invalidates Map C, then we go back to the current maps that we have.
Sounds like a good idea.
That's, there it is. So, we figured it out. Okay, but then let's talk about this direct initiative part. Okay, so while we have this referendum going, we also launched this direct initiative, which is instead of a it's an indirect initiative. Instead of a direct initiative, right, where we just ask voters if they want to initiate a law, we ask voters whether they want the legislature to do something about
a
law.
Yeah, and they write the language for the legislature to vote up or down.
Okay, so they say, do you want to repeal Prop 4? Voters say yes or no, or do you want the legislature to repeal Prop 4?
Voters have to collect enough. The party has to collect enough signatures of Utah voters. It's less than a regular initiative. The indirect initiative requires fewer signatures. If they get those signatures, then the legislature must take a vote yes or no on the language that that indirect initiative gives the legislature.
Okay, but none of that would happen until 2026, right?
That would go on the ballot in 2026 if they qualify, yes.
So what lines then do we use?
Right. It's got to be the 2021 election lines.
Yeah.
Well, and we haven't even talked about whether or not the Prop 4 language in code would be frozen by that indirect initiative. I don't know the answer to that question. I can't recall any time in Utah history when there has been an indirect initiative or a successful indirect initiative. I don't know that that's happened at all, at least in modern history here in Utah.
Yeah, and so this is like taking democracy one step further, right, Leah?
it's a problem.
This is like a direct changing of a law.
I don't
here.
Understand why we have chosen in our state, and again, I'm not from here, so maybe it's baked in to the DNA.
Years,
I've been here over two decades, but sometimes
fully Utah.
Maybe.
Yeah, there's only one A when you're a real Utah.
That's right. I don't understand why we've decided to subdivide the legislative authority. Why not just have a legislature that we have actually do the job?
Hey, and why don't we, let's just get rid of initiatives altogether. Listen, I'm a huge proponent. I love them. I've used
Your
them.
Your initiative is why we have SB 54.
I know, but listen, we didn't actually need to pass it because we used it as a tool to compel the legislature to act.
So what tool would you use then?
Initiatives are nothing more than a very expensive lobbying or litigation tactic. That's what they create. That's what they set up. This is a hot mess. I truly believe in our constitutional republic, and voters have the say on their representatives who make these decisions.
Do they have a say, Leah, when the lines are drawn in a certain way? That's kind of what we're talking about here,
Yeah, but again, even right there, we all know that legislatures draw the lines. That's been true for 230 years, right? So that is something that's always happened. If you don't like it, then don't vote for those people. Or have how you're drawing the lines be an issue in an election, right? And go to caucus meetings or vote in that way in a primary and force them to abide.
Yeah, and I'm being overly dramatic here. I don't believe
He doesn't
in
agree
or
with
support.
Me. Yeah.
I do not support an outright repeal of, you know, Utah voters' constitutional right, to run initiatives. I believe in that firmly. I just think it is run amok lately.
A little bit, it's like, what is, you know, you kind of talk about the slippery slope of an argument, and when you get to the most nonsensical case, and to me, this entire conversation is the most nonsensical case for why Right, like what goes wrong when initiative authority kind of works the way it's been working?
Well, the legislature's talked a lot about not ping-ponging in the courts, and here we are ping-ponging with initiatives, right?
Hey, you know, if somebody starts playing ping-pong, you gotta hit the ball back. Right?
Sure.
So, Taylor, you said you've never seen in history like the indirect one.
Yeah.
Do you have a sense that the GOP will get the signature, like those numbers you know, operating, I think, under a system that you know pretty well, are they going to get that level of signature gathering in 40 days?
I think it's possible. I think if you asked me that question before the recent UEA-led referendum, I would have said, heck no, no way. I said that about the UEA referendum. I didn't think they could do it. I was proven wrong. And so, you know, I hesitate to be skeptical of that now. I think it's been proven recently that it is very possible.
Do you think GOP is as popular as firefighters?
I was going to say, because the unions are the one organizing right. that, and they're out there collecting signatures.
Paid signature gatherers make the difference. Even in the UEA referendum, they did have unprecedented volunteer support. And, yeah, smart to send the firemen to get signatures, not the police, right?
That's send the obvious. Teachers. Right. Yeah, send right. the teachers.
Well, then, but I think these will be paid gatherers, and I think they can be successful.
Okay, so we're going to have to wait and see how this all plays out. All of this is butting up against the November 10th deadline, and I wrote a story before this news came out this morning outlining the...
And let's be clear, I'm sorry. The November 10th deadline is the deadline for the elections,
yes,
right?
For November 10th deadline is when the lieutenant governor has said, I need these maps to be finalized so I and my county clerks can start prepping for 2026.
Yeah, okay.
Candidates run for office in January. They need to know which districts they're
right,
in.
Right, they file. They're not
yes,
going to
they
know.
File. Right. Sorry, they file, right? The counties have to draw their precinct lines and things like that. So there is a lot to do before that January 2nd or whatever the day is filing deadline. We need to get our lines in order, if you will. So this is.
Can I ask a question on this, though? Because if it's just Congress, right, we're not redrawing any other lines, and we've decided that you don't have to actually live in the district, right?
For Congress. Right.
Then maybe that urgency is not what I think it is, right? So I was thinking, this seems really tricky for candidates, but maybe because it's just four? No? Okay.
Oh, it's going to get so messy. I mean, the DCCC has already prioritized one of these new districts that is only R+2 or 3, I think they're ready to spend millions and millions of dollars here in Utah on a red to blue campaign for someone like a Ben McAdams. There's going to be so much money behind all of this because, look, I mean, National Democrats have a real opportunity here in Utah to pick up a seat in the House.
But I'm kind of curious.
The majority could hinge on one seat.
Yeah, but I'm kind of curious why Republicans, at least the party in this case, doesn't like Map C. They still have on paper 4 Republican seats. To your point, Taylor and Leah, that you've made before, Democrats need to run better candidates, right, to win in Utah's current lines. Why don't Republicans have to run better candidates here just to win in the R+2 districts? Look,
Republicans, we're winners. We like to win. All we know is winning. And, okay, I'm being silly. But look, all of this really truly does go back to that original ruling last July. That said, told the legislature, you can't do this to initiative language, to statute. The legislature hates that more than anything. And this is all about finding different ways and tactics to undo that ruling and undo the Prop 4 language to make the legislature preeminent again. That's what this is about. It's about winning, you know, not any specific other outcome.
Right. So it's not about MAPC at all, right, Taylor and Lindsay? It's about proving a point. Which I guess is why it's not hypocritical that the GOP first said everyone should support this map and now we're asking the legislature to repeal it. Because it's not that we don't like the map, it's that we don't like what happened.
Exactly. Mm. We don't like any of this.
Okay. All right. Well, we shall see how it all plays out. TBD on that. All right. We are in day 14 of the government shutdown. Is that right?
13. I think 13, 14.
So we're in the teens of the days of the government shutdown, and things are starting to get real. We heard Congressman Blake Moore say that Utah is really going to start to feel the impacts of the shutdown this week because troops are missing paychecks, workers are missing paychecks. We've now seen some air traffic controllers not show up for work, things like that. Flights are starting to be impacted, and you know who flies more than anyone? Our congressional delegation, right? Yeah. So, Leah, what do you make of this? Are we still blaming Democrats for this, and how does this end?
Oh, that's really interesting. I mean, I think, one, it ends if I feel like the number was, 6 Democrats in the Senate decide to change their mind. So, you know, how you end that is give them something they want. to get them to move, that very non-democratic institution, the United States Senate, very much protects the minority in their chamber, right? And you always want that protection because at any given moment, you're going to be the minority party there. So they've got to give those Democrats something that they want. I think that's how that ends.
But you're seeing the real world impacts where you live right now.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what, right? Like, biggest employer in Weber County is the IRS. If you mail a check to the United States government, I think west of the Mississippi, it is coming through Ogden. The address is Ogden. So a lot of people being furloughed, which means my downtown street, 25th Street, which has fabulous restaurants, those restaurants are not getting their normal lunch, their normal lunch activity, right? The people coming in to eat during the day. So that, you know, there are ripple effects, right? This is a major employer in the county, in Weber County, and the United States government, quite frankly, is a major employer across the country. Yeah. And the trickle down effects of saying, none of these people have to work, we're not going to pay them, right? Even if we save the military, right? So we're decided to give them some pool of money somehow, right? If there's not these workers in Weber County going to lunch and eating, those restaurants are going to take a hit. And we are looking at, I think, an economic crisis. Yeah. You know, that President Trump's going to be holding the bag of when the 2026 election comes around.
Maybe. So, Taylor, do Republicans, like Leah's saying, need to give more to Democrats? Or do Democrats just need to get on board for this clean CR and not discuss appropriations during the CR process?
A little bit of both. I agree with Leah that Democrats need to get something here out of this. Perhaps some of the, you know, developments in international conflicts could present something new, something different that Democrats would be willing to work around or take in exchange for support. I mean, it's really messy. It's really tough. I understand strategically why Democrats are holding the line on this issue, but voters have very short memories. I don't think voters will take any action in November of 2026 based on what is happening right now, right? And although I really understand why someone like Representative Blake Moore is so concerned about this. That's his district, right? Mm-hmm. Where these offices are located. Also, Hill Air Force Base is being really affected, even though the military isn't necessarily suffering as much as, like, the IRS, so to speak. Still, it has a real significant impact on non-essential workers in all of government.
Right, and like the issue with Hill Air Force Base, and I'm not going to quote the number because I'm sure I'm going to remember it inaccurately, but I'm going to tell you, I think, like, Layton depends.
Hold on. Did you just say Layton?
Did I say it wrong or right?
Got the T.
Did I sound the same?
You are officially a Utah, Leah Murray. Welcome.
It's Layton. So, Layton. Anyway, that city, I believe, has something on the order of 80, 90% of their economy tied into Hill Air Force Base. Yeah. If I am only going to get my paycheck this week, and I'm not sure if I'm going to get it next week, even if I'm getting paid, that's going to cause behavior of people who are consuming, right, to change. And then that, how do I say it? Layton? I don't know how to say it. Yeah. But that city then again is going to get hurt. So your point, if it comes next November and the economy wasn't really an issue and everything else is wonderful and all of a sudden approval ratings are great, voters are not going to remember. I just am not sure that things are true.
Yeah, it all will come down to who messages and frames it better, who runs the better campaigns in the fall of 26. And we all know Republicans are a lot better at politics than Democrats.
A lot better at messaging, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Peter, I don't know if I asked you this before the show, but I'm going to ask you while we introduce this topic to pull up the cartoon from the Salt Lake Tribune about that Pat Bagley drew. There it is. The issue I want to talk about in our final 5 minutes here is a cartoon that you're seeing on your screen if you're watching us from Pat Bagley. He's a longtime cartoonist with the Salt Lake Tribune here locally. And I've seen a lot of Republicans take issue with this cartoon in particular. Senator Mike Lee, Burgess Owens, House Speaker Mike Schultz, all calling it really inappropriate. Less than a month after Charlie Kirk was shot and killed here in Utah, this cartoon, if you're not looking at it, calls our congressional delegation the Gutless Gang and says something about a hole in the head.
I do want to note the version that we are showing today is the one that is currently on the Tribune's website.
Okay, because
they revised the name of the comic. Yeah. It is now just titled Bagley's Cartoon, Utah's Reps, and it contains a note saying that the original title of the cartoon did not meet the Tribune's editorial standards.
Okay.
So the paper has conceded some point on the original name, which was the Hole in the Head Game.
Yeah, the Hole in the Head Game. Yeah.
But if it didn't meet their standards, Peter, like, why did they run it with that original title? Sorry.
I think, you know, when your standards get tested when you take heat.
I think you have to
really assess these things rigorously when people are questioning you on them, not so much when you're just, all right, that's this week's cartoon.
Yeah. So what was the reference, the Hole in the Head Gang reference?
The Hole in the Wall Gang, Butch Cassidy.
Hole in the Wall Gang.
Mm. Right? So I can see, now, Pat Bagley's a Utah institution. I mean, he's an American institution in terms of political cartoonists. He's one of only a few left in the whole country. He has been very progressive all along. That's no secret, but I think it was, I don't like outrage, I don't like cancel culture, but I can understand where the Republicans are coming from, because this is a wanted poster, right, with drawings of our congressional delegation. The original cartoon, right above the wanted, or below the wanted there at the top, in large font, was Hole in the Head Gang.
Right.
Right? And the reference to Butch Cassidy and the Hole in the Wall Gang, it's really obscure. Only like nerds like
I gotta
dads
be honest.
Like me would know about that,
I didn't get it.
Right?
I gotta be honest. Yeah.
And so no, to most people, they see a wanted poster saying Hole in the Head Gang. I can understand why, hey, this is a huge problem.
Leah, what did you think of it?
Well, I was just going to say a little bit, because Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid is like one of my favorite movies and my dad's favorite movies. And so I didn't even, right, like I didn't pull forward recent events, or like I just saw it and said, oh, clearly it's a play on that fabulous movie, right? So that's interesting too. I mean, political cartoons are always pushing the edge. And producer Peter, your point's so well taken. You push that edge and then you don't really know you hit it until somebody like questions you.
But Pat Bagley has always pushed the envelope.
Right. So right? I just.
In this one, I think he went way too far.
Or he thought, like us, everyone would get the reference and it wasn't a big deal or something.
Yeah, not everyone is as nerdy as us, I guess.
Yeah. So, well, the other expression of hole in the head is like, I need a Diet Coke, like I need a hole in the head. Was that the reference?
I've never heard that.
You've never heard that expression?
No, never heard that expression.
No, I assumed it was hole in the wall, but it was like hole in the head, like they're
in the red
not
bandanas,
smart.
Right? Those are red bandanas. Yes.
But it said hole in the head
tied
gang.
Tied into a Wild West outlaw game.
Right. I will
but
offer
they could be
one
interpreted
other.
Differently, right?
I'll offer one other definition. I grew up with the idiom, do you have a hole in your head, to mean like, are you stupid?
Are you stupid? Oh. Like that's how I read it.
Like,
yes.
Like, well, what, have you got a hole in your head? Like that, like as kind of an, you know, pointing out that you think someone's dumb.
Right.
So there's a lot of interpretations you could pull from this. I just think the one that people immediately clocked was violence.
Bad timing.
Yeah.
Really bad timing, Pat.
Perhaps. All right, you guys. In the final, just 1 second here, I just want to touch on this really, it's not a political topic, but just a really important topic here locally for us, is that Dallin H. Oaks has been named the president of the Church of Jesus Christ and the prophet of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He's the 18th president of the church, and then his new counselors are, guys, I don't have the list in front of me. Christofferson is the second counselor, and Henry B. Eyring is the first counselor. Thank you to my intern who just mouthed that to me. Any reactions to those today, guys, or just keep going?
Many years ago, once at the Hinckley Institute of Politics, President Oaks may have overheard me swearing at some interns on the phone.
So now you're worried.
He was in a chair waiting in the lobby right by my office, and when I finished a heated phone call, stepped out of my office, and he was standing there waiting to shake my hand, and I could tell he heard it all, and not my best moment.
You know, we all have those moments. It's okay. Leah, any comments here from an observer?
No, I mean, I think not a member of the faith, but I think it's always good, how do I say, when leadership settles in. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I think like that it's a very good thing for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to have its leadership.
Yeah. It's a long title. We know that working in news, because we're like, it's 17 seconds to say the full name. And that's more time than we have in a newscast. Taylor Morgan, Leah Murray, thanks for your insights today.
Thanks.
We appreciate your opinions. Of course, watch Sunday's episode of Inside Utah Politics on ABC4, Channel 4, wherever you watch TV. This week, we will have State Auditor Tina Cannon, and crossing our fingers that Rob Axon, the chair of the Republican Party, will come weigh in on the party's decision this week. Producer Peter, appreciate your time.
Thanks, everybody. I always appreciate you.
And hair. Appreciate your hair. And we will see you next time.